Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together and sing praises to you, to learn about you, and to focus our attentions on you. And Father, I pray you'd work through what I've prepared. You know my questions with it. And I pray that you would help me to be clear. Your name, amen. Did you know that there's gold in Ohio? And I'm not talking the jewelry on your fingers. I'm not talking the cash for gold place. I know they have gold. I'm talking about wild gold. The grab your pan, your sluicer, and your gun, and let's head for California kind of gold. Just not in California quantities. Now, the gold didn't start here. It was brought here a couple of thousand years ago by several glaciers. They picked it up in Canada, pushed it down through Ohio, and when they receded, they dropped it. And I'm going to show you a slide, a map there, which is a little bit hard to see. But this shows the paths of the glaciers into our state. The different colors are different glaciers. Pretty much everywhere that you see a color, there's a possibility of there being gold. Now, most of the gold isn't, the best chance of that really isn't our county. You can see maybe Madison County. There's some lines of green through it. Now, theoretically, along those lines of green, there might be some gold sitting there. Most of the gold got dropped where the glaciers stopped. So along this part here has nothing. Poor them. And there's not a whole lot there. But supposedly along those green lines, there's a chance of there being gold in our county. Do you know me? If you do, you know I can't let something like that go. I gotta go look. So I purchased a pan. Vicky's laughing at me. No, I didn't go online and purchase a real gold pan. You can get a real one. They're not actually that expensive, but I'm too cheap even for that. I went to the thrift store and bought myself a spare frying pan. I don't think you really need the real gold pan. And I went looking for gold. And I have some pictures. The first one is my equipment. I don't know if I'm blocking it or not, but I got my pan. I got a little trowel there. And I got two types of dirt. The dirt in the pan is from this field over here, okay? And the dirt in the little pail is from my garden. You see, there are apparently some pretty strict rules about who looks for gold and whose dirt. So I think I got dirt that I was allowed to take. So, I mean, if I find gold, who knows? And then I went to the creek that runs through town, and what you do is you put water in the pan, and you shake it, and you swirl it around, and the idea is that all the mud and the sticks and the lighter rocks will flush out, leaving you with heavy rocks, hopefully heavy black sand, that's usually an indicator of gold, and maybe gold or even diamonds. So that's really rare in Ohio. There have been diamonds found, also brought from Canada. I don't know why the Canadians don't find more of this stuff up there. Now, if I was really serious about this, I would have dug down at least 2 feet to get my dirt, because that's where roughly the layer of debris left from the glacier is. But if you ever dug a 2-foot hole, that's a lot of work. So, and who has time for that? So I did the church first. You can go to the next slide here. I'm not sure what I probably looked like to the casual observer, because this is in the middle of town, this big full-grown man bent over the creek with a pan, swirling water and dirt. I'd like to think that nobody saw me, hopefully. So here's the church results. Now, from this picture, it almost looks like there's something there, but there isn't. There's nothing there. In fact, there weren't really even much, there wasn't hardly, the dirt pretty much just washed away. We got good topsoil here, not a whole lot else. So I probably should have dug down 2 feet, who knows. Now for the dirt for my garden, go to the next slide. There it is in the pan before. By the way, I was surprised how long this took. Each pan probably took about 5 to 10 minutes of just sitting there swirling and swirling, and there's still stuff in there and just swirling. And I don't think I ever really got all the dirt out. So, but this was a little better. You can go to the next slide. This is my results from my garden. So I got, there's bigger rocks in there. No gold, once again. So then I took a little bit of a risk, and I dug some dirt out of the bank there and did that. Now, like I said, the rules for who owns the rights to the gold of any location are pretty set. So if I found anything, I would have to find the property owner and give it to him. I didn't take any pictures of that pan, you know, as not to incriminate myself. And I actually found some black sand. No gold, but I found the black sand that I was talking about earlier. So there might be something there. If you want to spend hours bent over, panning, looking, and looking, and looking, there might be some gold in Ohio and maybe even our county. So if you want to look for gold, be my guest. Just don't expect to make a living off of it. Now, I didn't come in here today to once again reinforce that I like to pick up really strange and different hobbies. I think we can use panning for gold as a real analogy for something in our lives. If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, that's where my passage is today. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. That's 1 Corinthians 3. And I would like to start reading at verse 1 and go till 9 first. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. There in verses 1 through 4, Paul is rebuking the Corinthians for being a little childish, a little petty. He said that while he was with them, he taught them the simple stuff, the easy stuff, because they were baby Christians and they weren't ready for the more in-depth and deeper things. And he says they're still not ready. Because they still have jealousy and arguments and behaving, he says, in a human way. And specifically, over whose teaching to follow, Paul or this guy Apollos. I'm going to step now into the realm of guess. And I think that Apollos was trying to give them some solid food, some deeper teaching, hoping that they were now ready for it. But instead of accepting it and adding it to what they already knew, the Corinthians instead took it as almost new teaching and better teaching than Paul's and started to disregard Paul's teaching as less important. Now, that's just my guess, but it makes sense to me. Paul then points out that neither teacher is what they should be focusing on, since they're both simply following the rules that God has given them. And I really like how he says it, so I'll read it again. What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. They both had different roles in building up the church, and verse 6 lays them out. Paul planted the seed. He gave them the gospel first. Apollos watered it. He tended it. And God is the one who brings the growth. It's not about which preacher to follow, though their teaching had better be biblically based, but who we belong to. Verse 9, we are God's fellow worker. We are God's field, God's building. Now verses 10 through 15. I'm going to read on here. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So interesting. Once again, Paul says, I built the foundation, and someone else is building upon it. But then he switches focus here a little bit from him and Apollos to all of us as God's fellow workers. Instead of just what Paul or Apollos should be doing, and says, let each one take care how he builds upon it. In verse 11, he tells us what the foundation is, and in case we missed it, it is Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, the great news of salvation. We are saved from sin through his death, his sacrifice on the cross. That is the foundation. So first make sure that's what you're building on, but then do build on it. That's the starting point for the basis of our faith. In verse 12, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be reviewed, will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Now, what is the day? What are they talking about there? Well, that's the end. That's the day when everything is taken into account and judged. And we don't know when that is, but we do know that it is. It will come. And what we have done will be manifest. It'll be brought out. It'll be judged, tested. And so the work that we've done will be tested with a fire, it says here, a figurative fire that will judge the value of what work we have added to the foundation, what we have done as Christians with Jesus Christ. What have we done? And if you look at what is listed, some of that gold, silver, precious stones, those stuff, that will survive the fire. But the other, wood, hay, straw, that will burn. I remember hearing a story about a young man with he came from a very Christian, religious, really good family. Nearly all of his aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters were involved in some sort of Christian ministry or work. And he decided to go to college to be an engineer. As the story goes, one of these uncles pulled him aside and said to him, now remember, whatever an engineer builds will burn. Referring to these verses here. And now I think that uncle was a little bit in error, and I'll tell you why. Now, what an engineer builds may not be that important, but the reason he did it is. What is the difference between gold, precious stones, and silver, and the wood, hay, stubble? What's the difference between these two different things? And at first I thought, well, the gold is work that produces for the kingdom. It's work that helps grow up other believers. And while I still think it is to an extent, and that is something we are all called to do, something is missing from that, because remember what was said earlier in the chapter, what we do doesn't grow anything, only God brings the increase. I think, yes, we are supposed to build up the kingdom. We are supposed to strive to do that, but it is our motivation that turns that into gold. By seeking to do God's will and truly leaning on Him to do it, our work counts as gold, whether there is growth or not. Allow me to step out of my text a little bit over to Colossians 3:23 through 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. The motivation, I think, is the key to producing gold. So what then is the wood, hay, and straw? It's the opposite. It's work that is done for the wrong motivations, the wrong intent, without leaning on God and His Spirit to keep us straight. It's our own work, done by ourselves in our own power. Someone could be a great discipler, a great evangelist, just naturally out of their own abilities. And God could bless and will bless, because God's word always brings results, bless the words that come out of that person's mouth, and people could be saved and disciplined, and his work still not count as gold for him, because his motivation was not pure, and because he was relying upon his own gifts rather than on God's power. There are some topics that I have found myself coming back to over and over as I've been preaching for about 10 years. And I wouldn't be surprised if you went back and looked at my sermons over the last 10, 12 years and looked through them, and I think you would find about one per year on average on the topic of motivations and what I do with my time. It is something that I struggle with daily. The idea of, why am I doing what I'm doing? Do I waste time? Why do sometimes I find myself in the middle of my work and realize that what I'm doing, I'm not doing for God, I'm doing it for me? There's an exercise I think we should all do. And I think you can take your day, a big pile of dirt, and drop it into a pan and start swishing. Okay? Some of us have more rocky soil than others. Don't worry about that. Just let the extra stuff, the non-important stuff, slosh out. Spin that sucker till all that's left in your pan is the heavy stuff. The stuff that is actually the major blocks of your time. The stuff in the pan is how we spend our day. Blocks or rocks of time. Pull out that big block that is your work. If you're like me, it isn't pure gold. It's more of a marbled piece of granite with hopefully some gold fleck throughout, because not everything I do at work do I do for the right motivations. But unlike real gold, we have the opportunity to do alchemy on that rock and strive to change more of our motivations to the right ones and the real thing. And look at each of your rocks and the stones in the bottom of your pan. Are they gold? Do you have any stones that you don't want to look at? Huge blocks of time spent on the opposite of what God wants for your life. For the sake of the analogy, these should be wood or mud and washed out, but you've put such an importance on that, such heaviness, that you've kind of fossilized it and made it stay in your pan. You don't want that to wash out. You still want to do that. Only you know what is in your pan, and only I know what's in my pan. Well, God knows. And He wants us to be His fellow workers. If we are faithful, if we depend on Him, if whatever we do, we work for His glory, not our own, He will be responsible for the growth, the increase, the building up of His kingdom. Because we don't want to be that guy at the end of the text, and let me remind you of him, verse 14 and 15. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. This isn't salvation here. It isn't talking about what already saved Christian people do with the gifts God has given them. It is simply our work. What do you want to be when you get to heaven? Do you want to be the person who got there with nothing? No meaningful work that God was able to use. Instead, getting to heaven, that's good, but getting there with nothing to show for it, by the skin of your teeth, with great sadness at what we could have done, the way we could have conducted ourselves, but no chances to go back and fix it. And I know that I keep coming back and I wonder about this, because I do seriously look back at it. This is one of my topics that I always preach about. Motivation and what I do with my time. And I think gold, the idea of it, gold, kind of brings those together. If we are seeking to do God's will, if we're relying upon Him, then what we do will be worthwhile. Father, I trust that I've said what you want me to say. And Lord, you know that this is a struggle for me. And I pray that I'm not alone in that, but help us to lean upon you for our strength. Help us to trust you for what we're supposed to do, and to be continuously in prayer, seeking to do your will. And I pray that you would prick our consciences when the things that we're doing don't honor you, when we strive to do things under our own strength. Help us to cultivate the gold in our pan. And I pray that you would grow the kingdom, that you would bring growth in the lives of our church, in the lives of the people we come in contact with. And I thank you for everything you do for us. Amen.